guy.
Right, ready?
I'm ready.
All right. All right. Welcome back to Give Me Some Truth. This is Polly Price here today, financial advisor with Walkner Condon Financial Advisors. And I am here with my friend and former colleague, Anna January. And Anna is joining me today because we're kind of each of the advisors here when we put out this market outlook piece. Hi, Keith. each of our advisors here when we put out this market piece wanted to do a podcast to kind of recap what we were talking about in our pieces. And I wrote specifically kind of the state of charitable giving and why 2024 is a good year to, you know, give your money away and some trends and stuff like that. And I could think of no one else better to join me here today than Anna. And I'll let her, you know, talk about her background a little bit and get into that. And but I just, you are the currently the director of institutional giving with Wisconsin Watch. All I could think of was Walkner Condon when I said that. With Wisconsin Watch, and that's a recent position change. And we were colleagues back at PBS Wisconsin. And you are the current past president of the AFP Madison chapter?
Greater Madison.
Greater Madison. And for those of you who don't know, AFP stands for Association of Fundraising Professionals, and it's a national organization. It's a really great organization. It's probably kind of like the gold standard for professionals in the fundraising field. And yeah, because I'm no longer in the fundraising field, and I kind of wanted to bring someone in to kind of talk about this stuff with me and give me, you know, more of a boots on the ground feel of what is going on. So welcome, Anna, and thank you for being here.
Thank you, Polly. It's exciting to be here.
Thanks, great. So yeah, give me a little bit more of your background. Kind of you've had a really great career so far in this industry, and you know, that's only, you know, going up and up and up from here. But give me a little bit of background as to you and kind of what you've been doing the past few years.
Yeah, well, so thank you for having me. It's good to see you.
Thank you too.
I've had a lot of different roles in fundraising and in philanthropy. No one starts out wanting to be a fundraiser.
Yeah. Agreed.
It's not like you're like in second grade and people are like, I want to be a basketball player. And I'm like, I want to raise money. But no, I started out wanting to work in museums.
Same, Anna.
Yeah.
Same.
And in arts and culture. So, and I kind of just fell into a fundraising role because I wanted to work at a museum. So my first job in fundraising was membership manager at Madison Children's Museum. Which if people haven't been, it's such a good.
So great.
It's so fun. It's like, and it's a top 10 museum, children's museum in the United States. But
my daughter and I love it.
Yeah, it's fun. So I did membership there and then eventually moved to a grants and stewardship position there and did some database work. I loved it. But then my next role was at the UW, the Division of the Arts, and that's a unit on campus that does a lot of community programming. So some classical music festivals, the film festival, and just that position was like a variety of things from individual donors to corporate, and was there for a while, and eventually came to PBS where I got to work with you. And at PBS Wisconsin, as you know, I was the major gift officer. So I managed a portfolio of donors across the state who supported our work. And I loved it. I still love PBS Wisconsin. Yeah. I love everything they do. But was there for a while and then kind of wanted something new. And so in November, I moved over to Wisconsin Watch, which used to be known as the Wisconsin Center for Investigative Journalism. And we're a statewide, non-biased, nonpartisan, nonprofit newsroom.
Yeah. And we talked a little bit beforehand, before we started recording, and I asked, like, this is a pretty big year for you guys. Mm-hmm. Yeah, with the election and everything, I can only imagine. So thank you for taking time from, you know, your very busy schedule. But I did want to touch on the point, too, that you are currently the past president for AFP Greater Madison.
Yeah.
And you were in that position during kind of some, you know, more outlier years for fundraising around the state.
For sure.
And a little bit of background, if anyone, any listeners haven't read the piece that I wrote, when I started doing research, it kind of, you know, came to light very quickly that the past few years have been kind of hard in the fundraising industry. And, you know, whether that means donor retention, staff retention, actual, you know, individual giving dollars coming in, foundation giving, what that looks like, it kind of varies. Mm-hmm. But kind of wanted to, you know, given the experience you had over the past couple of years, does that kind of ring true for what you've seen? Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. And AFP and also like other resources like the Chronicle of Philanthropy does annual research studies to show what charitable giving looked like in a certain year. And it's been pretty grim.
Yeah.
I think the 2022 was like over 10% dip in charitable giving overall. Mm-hmm. It's interesting because when the pandemic hit, there was actually a surge in giving because I think people were just really scared. And nonprofits were there to help solve some of these problems. But with the economy and a looming recession, that quickly changed.
Yeah.
And so donor dollars have been down pretty much since 2020.
Yeah.
And I think there's a little hope in 2024. I don't know that things will totally change. Mm-hmm. But I'm hoping at least the amount that giving is down decreases from 2022
or 2023. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And I would imagine kind of being in that leadership role with AFP during that time was, you know, I don't know if stressful is the right word, mm-hmm. but like you're just fielding more stuff probably. Yeah. And, you know, use the word pivot, but like having to pivot in terms of like what you guys are focusing on versus mm-hmm. like perhaps what you had planned. Because what was your first year as president?
My first year as president was last year, but
okay.
I did 2 years before. For that. So 2020 was my first year as president elect. Okay. So I've been on the president track since then. And we just saw like our membership totally changed. So many people left fundraising.
Yeah.
Due to layoffs and also just it was a hard time to be asking for money.
Right. Well, that and, you know, coupled with the fact that, you know, remote work, whether it was available mm-hmm. or not, or just kind of the other stressors that the pandemic kind of put on people. And it's interesting because, like, I mean, you hear a lot about, like, the education system and, like, the healthcare system and nurses, you know, teachers kind of leaving and going to other routes or, you know, staying home with their families or whatnot or being caretakers. And it's interesting, too, because I think a lot of those professions, and same with, like, charitable gift planners, tend to be women. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's a whole other conversation that we won't get into today. But so I'm sure, you know, that plays a role as well. You hear about those, you know, healthcare and education. Well, obviously those are really important, like pillars of our society mm-hmm. positions that are needed. And so when losses happen in those industries, it's, you know, maybe more not shocking, but more significant.
Yeah.
I don't think it really got talked about a lot about, you know, fundraising field of how it kind of got put through the ringer maybe a little bit. And it's important because this is, you know, it's like, yeah, maybe the work that they're doing isn't directly leading towards, you know, the outcomes, the programs, mm-hmm. but the dollars are, and those dollars aren't coming in by themselves.
Right. Exactly.
So.
Exactly. And it was kind of interesting because I think when you send me this question, mm-hmm. when I put my AFP hat on, it was grim.
No,
the membership was grim.
So sorry to make you relive.
But at PBS, I think you'll remember this, that has like a really large, really practiced nonprofit. That was in people's living rooms through broadcast. They actually saw huge growth in their giving. So my professionally, I didn't feel it as much, but that kind of just goes to show, and the studies have shown that, like, it really were the small nonprofits, or was the small nonprofits and, like, arts nonprofits that were hit the hardest. I think, like, I'm not going to guess what percentage, but a huge percentage of layoffs in nonprofit were arts, because they were all in-person performance-based.
All right, yeah, well, let's, you know, hope for a better 2024 and moving forward. So I kind of want to change topics a little bit and maybe, again, you know, talk a little bit more about the future and kind of some things, because you know, both of us, when I guess my time in charitable giving industry was, you know, Chicago and Madison based, so relatively local. You've been relatively local. Kind of what are some things specific to the Madison area that you've noticed, like some changes or anything your industry or anything you're excited about for the industry in Madison?
And no, I'm going to answer that, but I'm going to answer a question that you didn't ask first.
Okay.
Which is, I do feel optimistic nationally about 2024. Partially, I'll reference the market report that you guys wrote. Talked about how the economy, though a lot of people feel negative, is getting better. And so I think that there's hope that things will level off a little bit, both in Dane County and across the country. People are going to start feeling better about their assets and their pocketbooks.
The nature of things right now,
But in Dane County specifically, you know, I think a lot of donors have started thinking less about the splashy gala and the golf outing and more about how do I really give my money in a way that will go to the people that this nonprofit serves, and also to like make sure that that organization is transparent and equitable themselves. So I was doing a little research, and there's a study from the United Way of Dane County that said 89% of their nonprofits in 2022 increased their salaries. And nonprofit is a field that's like riddled with low salaries, which goes back to your point that also it's also a highly female industry. So I think that's really, really encouraging. Goodman Community Center in town, shout out to them. They're doing like national groundbreaking work. Because they're doing a capital campaign right now called the Campaign for a Living Wage. Which normally, like a capital campaign is like,
building.
A cool splashy new building. But they're I can't remember how much they're raising, but they're doing it so they can really permanently restructure and pay every single employee over the minimum living wage in Dane County.
That's great. And we talked about this a little before too, and this kind of segues into another question I want to ask you. But we get questions from clients often in terms of like how to vet charities and where they're giving. And there's, you know, there's various websites out there that you can kind of pick and prod and figure out what, you know, what works for you, what doesn't. You can interview the organization, which is what I always kind of recommend of like, you know, if you're serious about it and you want to kind of get in touch with someone, like there's people out there at the organization who will talk to you and give you some more information. But I just want to caution people as well, because a lot of the times the you know, the charity navigator ratings that you see, stuff like that, not to name drop charity navigator, but, you know, a site like that, they'll rate things on, you know, their various rating systems, but like one of them is like how the donor dollars are used. Yeah. And I think historically it's been a negative to look at that pie chart and look at like, oh my God, you know, like 30% of the donor dollars are going towards overhead. Like that's not what I want it to do. I want it to go to, you know, right to the program. But I caution people to remember that like you need to pay the people who are doing the work a living wage. Otherwise, guess what? They're not going to do that anymore. And then there's no, you know, then that just stagnates how those dollars are getting flowed into the charity in the first place. And like, it's, you know, yeah, it's a kind of a middleman, but it's a necessary middleman in so many ways that I think people overlook. And it sounds like what you're telling me from like the Goodman campaign and stuff like that, that maybe, there's been a shift there a little bit, or at least, you know, hopefully a little bit, to showcase that like this is important work and it needs to be taken seriously. Yeah. And if it's a matter of, you know, increasing salary compensation for employees, we'll, you know, look at that and hopefully that is a trend that moves forward.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think those percentages of like overhead or whatever you want to call it are valuable to look at, but then I agree with you that like then go to the nonprofit and ask why.
Yeah,
because if they're like, that's because we've built back after the pandemic with a more equitable staffing model, I'm like, great, I do want my dollars to go to that. And I also think that like nonprofits aren't known as being like the most sustainable or the most progressive business models, and so for so long they've had these lean staffs to execute their mission, and that's not necessarily good either. I've seen in Madison and nationwide a lot of funders being much more comfortable with overhead percentages around like 20%. Granted, like you don't want like a 50%,
right? Yeah, like, there is a limit.
but yeah, I think if people are kind of feeling uneasy about that, go to the nonprofit and ask why.
Yeah, interesting. Okay, so let's talk a little bit more about, you know, moving forward in the future and stuff. And I brought up some points in my outlook piece that I thought were interesting. And we talked a little bit before this, and I'm glad you thought they were interesting as well. Cause, again, I'm not in the industry anymore. But just kind of like some, maybe trends, maybe things that are like moving the industry forward. One of those is literally giving cryptocurrency to charities. And you validated what I said, that it's, you know, that it's something that's actually happening and happening locally, or you're just like,
yeah, I don't know so much about locally. Though we had AFP over the past 5 years, we've done 2 or 3 presentations on it, and it's been well attended. So people are interested in the topic. I think every industry is like crypto, like I don't know. but I do have a friend that works for a national nonprofit in town, an animal sanctuary.
Okay.
And they have one staff member specifically dedicated to crypto.
Really?
Yeah. And with crypto, you know, it had such a big boom.
Yeah.
And now it's kind of tanking. But that person at that organization is doing well because people are trying to get rid of their crypto.
Yeah.
So when they're thinking about it, as if, like, let's get rid of this, donate it, get the deduction in in regular dollars, and then the nonprofit will automatically sell it.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a win-win situation right now.
Interesting. That's a great way of putting it.
I don't think the people with the...
How long that lasts. Right, yeah, we'll see. But, yeah, it's still interesting.
For all the people that have lost money on crypto, they probably don't think it's win-win. But
Yeah. For sure. Another thing, this was an easy transition for me when I came over to Walkner Conin, because I worked specifically in like planned giving when I was over at PBS Wisconsin, and we did a lot of, or we received a lot of gifts through qualified charitable distributions, as well as donor advised funds. And those are things that, you know, we help our clients with, you know, every year, every month, stuff like that, that we, you know, we see a lot of. We've seen an increase in our clients setting up donor advised funds, whether they have them, you know, with us through Schwab Charitable or whether it's, you know, at Madison Community Foundation, something like that. Everything I, you know, keep seeing and reading about, you know, the qualified charitable distribution aside, more focus on donor advised funds. Are those still, do those seem to be very popular?
Yeah, that is like, I wrote in my notebook, dad, exclamation mark. Donor advised funds are like the hot topic in philanthropy right now. And you used to see people kind of doing the same thing with like family foundations, but donor advised funds are really a way to do that much more inexpensively. And they just provide a huge benefit to the donor. It's a little complicated because on the nonprofit side, because when you give to a donor advised fund, you can hold those funds for basically forever. It gets to be difficult because so many philanthropic dollars are just being held up in DAFs. But from the donor perspective, you get that tax credit. Let's say you sold a business. In a year, you put a huge amount of money, or it doesn't have to be a huge amount. Some donor advised funds are quite small. You get the tax credit in that year, but then you don't have to give the funds away.
Yeah, you don't have to keep receipts for every single donation you've given. Yeah, we've talked about them actually in the podcast before, and, you know, I think they're great. I totally see what you're saying about, you know, those dollars being wrapped up in the funds, and I'm curious to see how legislation looks at those moving forward as they do become more popular.
Yeah,
more money is tied up in them, and, you know, it's not the same as, you know, like an IRA and having to, you know, take money out of it.
Right.
And then it's taxable, and, you know, it's not, there's no required minimum distribution from a donor advised fund. Right. And I wonder if in the future, if that's something that, you know, Congress will take a closer look at, because, you know, if you're getting a tax deduction, then there's probably something coming, but, you know, who knows? But yeah, I think that's interesting that you mentioned that. And kind of one other thing I want to talk about too, and I don't know how much time we have left, but I know, and I remember in my, you know, my time in the industry, like a lot of the planning that goes into, you know, operating budgets for nonprofits, it's hard to do when you have donors who don't, you know, may drag their feet, might, you know, have some funds wrapped up in something like that, or, you know, a charitable gift annuity, a charitable remainder trust, something like that, or a donor advised fund where it's like you know, a lot of those planned gifts are planned, but you don't know for when, so it makes it really hard for the organization to plan for it. And so giving kind of like on a annual monthly basis, that like something like that, that a charity can rely more, you know, significantly on, even that in and of itself seems to be helpful.
Yeah. Yeah, that does really help sustain an organization. And I've seen some of the most rewarding relationships with a nonprofit when someone is able to do, even if it's small, something regular in their lifetime while still planning for whatever their planned gift is down the road. That way they're able to know that they're making this gift one day, but still have a relationship with the organization while they're still alive. And organizations are really just made up of people trying to collectively improve something.
Yeah.
And so it's really fun when you get to be a part of that, even if it's not a huge financial contribution, knowing that they're a priority in your estate plans one day.
Yeah, I like the way you said that. Okay, so let's talk a little bit, you know, towards the end here, just about some things that maybe donors that you've worked with recently, some things that they are, I don't know, excited about is the right word, or mm-hmm. different vehicles. I mean, we talked about donor advised funds, but different things that kind of maybe donors are piquing their interest.
Yeah. Yeah, well, one thing that's going on right now, it's being deemed, and you know this, having worked in planned giving, but like the great wealth transfer, mm-hmm. where much of the United States, funds in the United States, are held by baby boomers, and they're passing away. And so I think I wrote down $84 trillion to change hands in the next 20 years. So I think people are getting very serious and smart about their, like, planned giving tactics, mm-hmm. and also considering more complex vehicles that might, and vehicles, maybe not a good word because that's very fundraising specific,
yeah.
but like things like a charitable gift yeah. annuity or a charitable remainder trust that mm-hmm. can give them some income in their life while still being part of their estate plans.
Yeah, it's a perfect term because our theme for this year's Market Outlook was Back to the Future. So I feel like a vehicle works very well with
I feel like that's one of that. Those awards.
Now that I'm thinking about it, I was like, I really should have played that up more in my piece. Darn it, next year. Well, is there anything else that I'm missing, that anything else you kind of wanted to, you know, bring to people's attention, or are you just, yeah?
Yeah, well, I think there's a couple, like, interesting things that I've been thinking about lately that I don't really know what to say about them.
Yeah,
but
I love it.
Just like any industry, AI mm-hmm. is going to be really complex, and people are talking about, like, what does that mean for wealth screening or grant writing using ChatGPT? So I think that'll be something interesting to watch. Yeah. And then also everyone's always talking about how do we get, like, the Gen Z in philanthropy, and, like, how do you reach millennials? And there's a new, like, field of social media influencer philanthropy mm-hmm. that I find fascinating.
Yeah.
And it's really just, like, social media influencing in general, mm-hmm. but for good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I was watching, I can't even remember what organization it was. It may have been like the Nature Conservancy or something. And they did like one of the latest TikTok trends mm-hmm. and it was actually really funny and cute. And I was just like, oh, that was a good one. Is that like along the lines of what you're talking about, or am I way off?
Yeah, no, that's okay. That's definitely along the lines. But also even... Can I name the nonprofit?
Yeah.
It's the same organization I brought up earlier. It's Best Friends Animal Sanctuary.
Okay.
They're a national animal sanctuary. And they even contract with social media influencers
okay.
To bring them to their sanctuary in Utah. And then they, like, post about it and talk about it. And it's just interesting because I feel like that's not something I've seen a lot of nonprofits do.
No.
But like how you can leverage influencers who have so many followers.
Yeah.
To, I think they brought one of the Real Housewives to their sanctuary.
Do you know which one?
I can't okay. remember. I can't. I think, well,
But that's a great idea.
Yeah.
I mean, it makes sense. Like, you know, we're both on Instagram.
Right.
Like, I've seen plenty of it. I just didn't really, like, put two and two together, I guess.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Yeah. It's innovative.
Are they paying?
No. Well,
okay, maybe.
I think it depends. They might be.
Yeah.
I think in this case, they're, they have, like, a hotel.
Yeah.
On their sanctuary. It's beautiful.
I bet.
So it's just like a paid vacation.
Sure. Yeah.
But.
Wow. Okay. Well, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Learn something new. All right. Well, anything else you want to share? Or?
No, I think this was an interesting conversation, and I'm really glad you invited me. And for everyone listening, if you want to check out Wisconsin Watch, it's a really great resource for what's going on in Wisconsin.
Yeah, and if Anna's working there, you know it's a great organization. especially this year, too. I'm excited to see what you guys put out.
A lot of election coverage.
Yeah, that's great. Well, thank you, Anna, so much for being here today. It was nice catching up with you and kind of getting to learn a little bit more, peek under the hood of nonprofit fundraising in the Madison area. And for any of our listeners, again, who want to check out Anna, she's at wisconsinwatch.org. And yeah, you know, if you want to learn more about kind of charitable giving in 2024 and read our piece or read any of the other Market Outlook pieces, encourage you to check that out on WalknerConnan.com. And thank you very much for joining us today. Thank you, Anna.
Walkner Condon Financial Advisors is a registered investment advisor with the SEC. Registration with the SEC does not imply a certain level of skill or training. The opinions expressed by the participants of this podcast are their own and do not reflect the opinions of Walkner Condon Financial Advisors. All statements and opinions expressed are based upon information considered reliable, although it should not be relied upon as such. Any statements or opinions are subject to change without notice. Information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Information expressed does not take into account your specific situation or objectives and is not intended as recommendations appropriate for any individual. Viewers are encouraged to seek advice from a qualified tax, legal, or investment advisor to determine whether any information presented may be suitable for their specific situation. Past performance is not indicative of future performance.
You gotta leave your money behind you. Raise your hand to the sky. Ask the masses for silence.